www.newsradio1080.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Lederman. Jacksonville Sheriff's Office says one person has been shot and killed at a home off San Jose Boulevard. Police say they were called to the 42,000 block of San Severa Drive South around 6:45 Wednesday evening, where officers found a woman shot at least once. She died at the scene. No arrests reported as of now, and we don't know the victim's name or what led to that shooting. Jacksonville's Edwin Wilson College will soon have a new home for its sports teams. School officials breaking ground Wednesday on the new field near the current Adams-Jenkins Sports and Music Complex. Mayor Lenny Curry was also on hand, and he says the project is good for the city as well as EWC because it will also be available for community group sports events as well. The field is part of an $8.4 million upgrade to school facilities that started in 2017. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning. Lots of rain with windy conditions. Scattered thunderstorms late this afternoon, a high of 84 degrees. This evening, windy with strong thunderstorms and a low of 52. Right now, it is 68 degrees. On the roads, one big problem if you're traveling southbound just before the Dings Point Bridge, there's been a car fire, and right now all the lanes are blocked. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. After the president's acquittal yesterday, Democrats and the media praise Utah Senator Mitt Romney for being the lone Republican to vote for impeachment against President Trump. With tax season going on, the IRS says over 30% of its workers will retire in the next 5 years. And with warning labels being proposed on Florida lottery tickets, opponents say it will hurt education funding.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Hey, man, we got in those water.
Would you like me to grab it now?
Yeah, would you? What, well, whatever, during break. I'm fine. Usually Roger and I have like a buffet at breakfast before we go on the air. So anyway, that's the reason why I was like, hey, can we put off a few more minutes?
And see, Ed, Ed likes this the sparkling water flavored with pomegranate and cherry.
Coffee and water. Anyway, Nobody cares what the flavor, but I appreciate it, man. Anyway, 831-0600, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, another busy show lined up for you. A lot of state, national, local issues. Another shooting takes place in Jacksonville schools this week. And how do we react? Oh, let's find another way to reduce crime. Oh, I don't know if the word is sad or aggravating, but we'll get into all of this right here on Talk Radio WBOB. All right, so let's continue on with the news. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, now it's days, whatever. Impeachment, acquittal, the aftermath, what's going to take place next? Do we need to remind everybody when this all began?
September 24th, 2019. That was the day House Speaker Nancy Pelosi officially opened the impeachment probe. February 5th, 2020, 134 days later, the Senate impeachment trial is over. What the president and his supporters claim has been a relentless effort to discredit and remove him from office that they say began long before he was even elected.
Now, we played those clips as well, but the question is, where does all of this go next? Well, Chief Justice John Roberts said this.
It is therefore ordered and adjudged that the said Donald John Trump be, and he is hereby, acquitted of the charges in said articles.
Yeah, so he's acquitted. Does that really mean anything? Not according to a reporter from Politico.com, Anna Palmer. She says Democrat operatives are telling her expect more investigations and impeachment proceedings, possibly, against President Trump.
This is not ending in the Senate. The House Democrats are going to want to continue the investigation. I was talking to an operative just this week, and they were saying this is not going to be the last time this president is impeached.
Thank you. Let's go a little bit further. Adam Schiff, congressman, was asked, hey, is the door, are you guys going to leave it open when it comes to more investigations?
But you're leaving the door open?
Well, I'm not saying one way or another. I really can't underscore enough that we did not look beyond the end of this trial. And so what we'll do is we'll get together as a caucus with our leadership and discuss what the future holds. But we were not prepared to make any judgments about
it. No, we're not going to tell you right now, but we can tell you. We know what the future holds. More investigations. Mitt Romney is being praised by AOC, the Democrats, and the media. Because why? Well, he was the lone Republican to support at least the first article of impeachment against President Trump.
Mitt Romney, who wanted to hear from more witnesses. Romney was emotional in announcing his decision on the Senate floor that he would vote to convict on abuse of power, acquit on obstruction of Congress.
The president is guilty of an appalling abuse of public trust. What he did was not perfect. No, it was a flagrant assault on our electoral rights, our national security, and our fundamental values.
Romney acknowledged it would not make a difference in the final outcome, but had to follow his conscience and keep his oath to God.
Keep his oath to God. I guess we're going to mix religion now into the context. That was Fox News. Mike Emanuel, he sat down with host of Fox News Sunday, host Chris Wallace. This is, again, let's go a little bit further, the reasons why Romney supported impeachment.
You believe that Donald Trump is unfit to serve as president and should be removed from office.
I believe that the act he took, an effort to corrupt an election, is as destructive an attack on the oath of office and on our Constitution as I can imagine.
Again, do you believe that Donald Trump is unfit?
So you notice that he didn't answer the first time around the question, so guess what? Wallace asked him again.
Again, do you believe that Donald Trump is unfit to serve as president and should be removed from office?
I do believe he should be removed from office. That's the vote that I will take.
Yeah, he should be removed from office. And then Chris Wallace says, when I was interviewing Romney, now, you have to be the judge. The Utah senator was going through real torment and how his vote would have taken place.
What struck me was that it turned very serious very fast, and that the gravity of his decision and the real torment, if you will, that he went through. He said he hadn't slept past four in the morning for weeks, that
wow.
He really didn't want to have to take this vote, that he pleaded with the White House to...
Wait, for weeks? I thought the impeachment proceedings was only about 2 weeks in the U.S. Senate. Okay, never mind.
Give him some affidavits, some more information, so that he would be able to find a way around this vote. But he said, in the end, his conscience, his faith, this is the only decision he could make to vote to convict on the abuse of...
His conscience and his faith. Okay, again, you guys will have to decide about that. But the media says that Mitt Romney should be honored and should be praised. Liberal columnist Juan Williams.
I think Romney should be honored for as a man of principle in this case because at least he voted with his heart, not about retaining power or avoiding Trump's tweets.
Now, he was the lone Republican. Here's my question. If a Democrat would have voted against this, would Juan Williams say he was using his heart and his conscience?
Yeah, you probably not. You know, I think it stands out because, you know, he voted against his own party's president. And not only that, but he was the nominee for the presidency, the last Republican who actually had that position prior to Trump.
That's 8 years ago. And the relevance is?
Well, you know, the fact that he's supposedly on the same team. You know,
you think so?
That's, well, he's supposed to be.
Here was the anti-Romney ad by the Trump crowd that came out.
Slick, slippery, stealthy. Mitt Romney had us fooled.
Being in Donald Trump's magnificent hotel and having his endorsement is a delight.
Posing as a Republican, he tried to infiltrate Trump's administration as Secretary of State.
President-elect Trump is the very man who can lead us to that better future.
Now his cover's blown. Exposed by news reports as a Democrat secret asset.
Democrat secret asset. That's just funny as anything. Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, was asking, should Romney step down, step aside? Many, I don't know if I buy into this, but many conservatives are saying that, or some, he should be expelled from the U.S. Senate.
Well, I was surprised and I was disappointed. But my job is to try to win as often as I can in the Senate.
Right.
There's always the next vote.
Right.
Senator Romney, on the whole, has been supportive of what we've been trying to accomplish in the year that he's been there. I think this was a mistake. I disagree with it. On the other hand, we've got a lot more votes to cast between now and November. And I'm going to need his support on a whole variety of things that are important to the president and to the country.
All right, Roger. So now into the weekend. Who knows what this story, how they, you know, the legs may last on this story. The bottom line is some conservative pundits, very well known, are calling for Romney to be expelled, that we need to have a recall run against him. Your thoughts?
You know what? The country is so partisanly divided right now. Even though I do not think he did the wise thing in voting for impeachment.
Okay.
I do believe that he was probably telling the truth when it said that it violated his conscience to not do so, at least on charge one.
Okay, you don't agree with him, but do you think he should be expelled?
No. His the constituents of Utah elected him, and that's who they wanted to represent him in Utah.
It's not
up to everybody else. No.
I am no fan of Mitt Romney. He's one of the biggest flip floppers. Of course, then President Trump has changed his position from what he used to be years ago to currently what we have today. So we got to be consistent. The bottom line is if you want to go after Romney, go after some of his votes.
Right.
I mean, he's been critical of the president. This isn't the first time he's voted against the president.
Right.
He did it on the border emergency border wall funding and things of that nature as well. But the bottom line is, and this is a question I'd ask you, the party, the loyal party faithful out there, do you sit here and sit back and go, hey, Romney should be expelled from the Republican Party? I don't know if I would go along with that.
Yeah, if he wants to, unless there is some type of rule that applies to everyone equally, I would say no to that as well. But I do think that it's possible that Romney, it was easier for him to vote for a conviction knowing that it wouldn't have made a difference. If he knew that he was the critical vote in kicking President Trump out, I don't believe he would have done so.
So the big question now after the president's acquittal is, Roger, you ever notice, let me ask you this, will you ever notice the last week at the end of the year after Christmas, before New Year's, it's kind of a dull week?
Okay.
It's almost like the week is in limbo throughout the whole year. Like, what do we do? What's going on? We're waiting for the first of the year. Is that what we're looking at right now when it comes to impeachment proceedings? As you know, the Democrats say that they may be looking at investigations, calling up John Bolton, maybe looking at the president's tax returns. What about more when it comes to impeachment proceedings during the election? What about Durham from the U.S. Attorney General's office? But one clip we played recently that I wanted to play one more time is, what will the U.S. Senate do? According to South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, being asked by this, what is the next shoe to drop with all of this Ukraine impeachment? He says, like the FISA, we want to find out where the original, what was the originality, the conception, how was this all conceived?
It's going to happen in the coming weeks. The Senate Intel Committee has told us that that we will call the whistleblower to find out how all this crap started. If the whistleblower is a former employee, associate of Joe Biden, I think that would be important. If the whistleblower was working with people on Schiff's staff that wanted to take Trump down a year and a half ago, I think that would be important. If the Schiff staff people helped write the complaint, that would be important. We're going to get to the bottom of all of this. Intel, Senate Intel will deal with the whistleblower. Foreign Relations Committee will deal with Joe Biden's conflict of interest. The Judiciary Committee will deal with all things.
So we'll see where all of this goes. Coming up next, even some among those in the liberals in the black community say that Trump's comments of his policies may have a positive effect. And financial infidelity in relationships, it is up. Financial. We'll get to all of these hits and good clips we've got coming up next. So stay tuned and listen. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 831-0600. 904-831-0600. What is your views on Mitt Romney? Should he be expelled from the U.S. Senate? Nah. Should he be expelled from the Republican Party for being the lone Republican to vote for impeachment? What is your view? 831-0600. Talk radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
95 northbound at Zoo Parkway. There's a car on fire that's causing all lanes to be blocked. An extra 5 minutes. That's 95 northbound at Zoo Parkway. And if you see anything on the roads that'll help your friends stay safe, give us a call. 901-SAFE, 901-7233.
Rain throughout the day with a high of 84. This evening, windy with thunderstorms and a low of 52. Right now, it's 68 degrees.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, February 7th, starting at 7 p.m., it's the February 1st Friday Cosmic Concert at the Museum of Science and History. Saturday, February 8th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, February 8th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, there's something about protecting people's homes through Progressive that inspires me, because I just had an idea for a book. Well, it was originally an idea for a movie based on a play inspired by a podcast, but the idea is how you can save when you bundle home and auto. Might not be the best idea for a book.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe a radio commercial? Guess we'll never know.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we give you this magic music, which will inspire the perfect hire to begin clog dancing. Okay, there's no magic music, but skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Can the economy get even better in a second Trump term? We'll discuss in studio with Trump advisor Stephen Moore on the Next America First with me, Dr. G. Then recap the State of the Union with former special assistant to the president, Boris Epstein, and former acting attorney general Matt Whitaker will analyze the potential Senate acquittal of the president. Plus, as usual, our weekly crazy California update with Los Angeles radio host Jennifer Horn.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekdays 3 till 5 on WBOB. WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
And here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. With tax season going on, the IRS says over 30% of its workers will retire in the next 5 years. With warning labels being proposed on Florida lottery tickets, opponents say it will hurt education funding. And a new survey finds that a number of Americans admit to financial infidelity against their spouses.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Let's continue on with the news. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Let's go back. President Trump, 2016, what he said about those in the black community on, hey, what do you got to lose? Support me.
Look how much African-American communities have suffered under Democratic control. To those I say the following. What do you have to lose by trying something new like Trump?
I love it when people talk in the third person like Trump.
Yeah,
you know, so is the president's policies, not rhetoric, policies having an effect? The president came out, of course, last Tuesday at the State of the Union to address certain issues with those in the black community. And even CNN's Van Jones says whether you agree with his policies or not, it does show to have a positive effect of those in the black community.
What he was saying to African Americans can be effective. You may not like it, but he mentioned HBCUs. Our black colleges have been struggling for a long time. A bunch of them have gone under. He threw a lifeline to them in real life in his budget. He talked about that. He talked about the criminal justice reform. He talked about opportunity zones.
He talked about school choice.
Now, again, that's what gets people to vote for you. Not by recognizing other people because they forget it down. But I understand why he did it, and that's the whole point. But listen to Greg Gutfeld, one of my favorites, from Fox News, The Five. He says Trump is doing something Republicans haven't done in a long time, addressing those concerns in the black community. Roger will tell you for years, I have heavily criticized everybody on both sides for not doing enough in the black community.
Yeah,
you have. Because we've got a bunch of hypocrites, believe me. But listen to what Gutfeld says. He says, even if you are helping those in the black, you're a racist no matter what. But even if you are helping those in the black community, you're still a racist because you're trying to cover up for your racism. Listen, this is actually quite funny.
All right, let's hear it.
Trump's doing something that I think the Republicans haven't done in a while. It used to be that if you don't help minorities, you were called racist.
Right.
Now, if you help minorities, the left say you're racist, too, because you're trying to cover up the fact that you're racist.
Isn't that a good point, Roger?
Yeah, I guess. Some will say, but I don't believe it will resonate with anybody who's thinking hard. I mean, if you're bringing in real, tangible results. I'm not talking about rhetoric. I'm not talking about throwing a bone that has no effect. We're seeing results because of President Trump.
If there was something, this is almost like a trick question, but I think let's have it here real quick before I get to more clips. If you wanted to, there's this whole area, and I think this could happen on both sides. Well, those in the black community only vote for somebody because they're black. Okay, I think some of that could be accurate, but
I do not believe that, but go ahead.
Some of it could be accurate, but why did a lot of them vote for Obama?
I think because he was the first.
That means they voted because of the color then.
Only after it looked like he was going to run, because Hillary Clinton was leading with black voters up until she started disrespecting Martin Luther King.
But if the economy didn't do well under Obama, they came out and supported him second time around. Okay, I'm not saying that applies to everybody, but follow me for a second.
Okay.
If you wanted to have a conversation, I'm not saying this is the main one. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to have a conversation where people sit in the black community and go, this policy, I could forget about voting like the rest of the other people the church does. Okay. I could vote for a candidate, Republican or Democrat, on a couple of issues.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a realistic comment addressing those concerns in the black community when it comes to education, maybe the economy. But here's what I'm reaching here.
All right.
What if you went down the road and says, you know what? We think those that are attractive high school students going into college, student athletes, we want to make sure that you and the family gets compensated. You can sit back and go, you know what? We've had this thing for years. We're college students. And by the way, which isn't a race issue, but you sit back and go, you know what? They're passing laws because, as you know, sometimes the best way to get people out of those bad neighborhoods is to get them into a college degree. And by the way, they can make some money for using their likeness or image in college sports. I think that's something that also could resonate.
It could resonate.
Not saying it's a big issue, but
here's the thing, a fallacy that a lot of people make. I think that there's an assumption that people do vote on policies. They don't. That's secondary. What they vote on first and foremost is team loyalty. They want to be a loyalist. And that goes for both Republicans as well as Democrats. No Republican wants to be labeled a rhino unless you're Mitt Romney.
But is it, and I think it could differentiate among some, but I'm saying is that if that's the case, why is it that only those in the black community only represent those in the black community? So I'm just saying the argument is, well, they only vote for those because maybe their skin color. I understand that argument, but I'm not saying that. I do agree that it doesn't apply to everybody.
I do not, or Kamala Harris and Senator Booker would be leading with black voters in the polls, and they simply are not. And now if you're, breaking ground and you're the first guy to become possibly become black president, you're going to get a lot of people excited. And you talk about the second time around, that was a backlash for what was perceived as the false allegations of voter suppression. And people, that's why the black community came out there.
Really? You got some numbers to show me that in polls? I never saw that covering that, why they came out.
People were standing in line in 2012 at 11 o'clock at night in Miami because reports came out that Florida was specifically trying to keep black people from the polls.
Can you show me those stories? Because I get a better answer. Because the NAACP went out and registered a boatload more people than they did 4 years earlier. That's another over 100,000.
I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying that was the perception. Well, they took it personal.
I don't know about that. I think they came out because they were pumped up about many things.
We had a former leader of the Republican Party in Florida who testified under oath, swore on the Bible that were discussions that were held, how we keep black people from voting.
I get that, but was that the number one reason why that those in the black community voted for Trump, especially when the second time, Obama's second time around?
I think that was a big reason, yeah.
Really? I want to see those. I like to see the big reasons. Why is that happening? And why do some of them vote for Trump in this turnaround? Just kind of, if the guy is such a racist, that's what I like to find out. James Carville, after the Iowa caucus nonsense. This is a good one too, Roger. I like this one. I think Carville's funny. Former Clinton advisor says Democrats need to wake up. This is a good clip. Listen to this.
It matters who the candidate is. It matters what a party chooses to talk about. I mean, I'm 75 years old. Why am I here doing this? Because I am scared to death.
This party
needs to wake up and make sure that we talk about things that are relevant to people. We're like talking about people voting from jail cells. All right? We're talking about not having a border. I mean, come on, people.
He says those are real issues. We're talking about people voting from jail cells. Like, that was funny coming
yes,
up here.
He's fun.
How many of you all have heard of infidelity in a marriage? Not that. We're talking about financial infidelity. Big stories come out. CreditCard.com reports that 44% of U.S. adults, couples, have admitted to being financially unfaithful to their spouse. That means secret spending, hidden bank accounts, unaccounted for credit cards. 17% of Americans admitted to keeping a secret account from their spouse. And 12% admit to carrying secret debt. Host of the Fox Business News Network, Maria Bartiromo.
We're looking at infidelity, financial infidelity. A new survey by creditcards.com shows 44% of U.S. adults admit to committing some form of financial infidelity against their current spouse or partners. Things like hiding spending, having a secret bank account.
Ah, but how does all of this play out? According to creditcards.com analyst Ted Rossman, he says secret accounts is very high among couples and especially young couples.
It's an awful lot of people that are either doing secret spending, keeping a secret credit card or savings.
All right, wait. Let me stop right there. For those of you that are married, or let's say that you're dating a man or a woman, technically, don't we have secret spending when it comes to the holidays?
Yeah. In Roger's right? house, we've got three primary checking accounts. You've got he money, which is my personal spending money.
Right.
She money, her personal spending money, and then the bills account. And I don't want to be able to have to ask my wife for money to buy her flowers.
I understand you do that. Okay, yeah. Anyway.
People that are either doing secret spending, keeping a secret credit card or savings account, or having secret debt. All told, it's 44% of people who are married or otherwise living with a partner are doing one of these things, and it's highest among millennials at 57%. The whole yours, mine, and ours thing is totally fine if you agree on it. I mean, a lot of couples like that. You each have your income, or even if you don't, I mean, even if only one person's working, you can have a separate pot of money for the other person if you agree on it. What's tough is when somebody's squirreling it away, then it's really hard to make your financial goals if one person's doing it.
So here's the question to you out there listening. If you fall into this trap, do you have a secret bank account? Do you have a secret account? Oh, boy. And how many of y'all secret spend? But I mean, I'm the first one to admit it. For those of you, right, during the holidays, Easter, Valentine's Day, come on. Don't both sides have secret spending going on?
Yeah, they should be. You know, they're supposed to be agreed upon. And my wife, even though I've got my own HeMoney account, she's got access to it if she wants to go and look. That's the thing. And I think when you throw around the word infidelity too much, I believe it loses its impact. And I don't like the cult concept of financial infidelity, calling it that. Call it a secret. And it may not be a good thing.
But if it's done on purpose, technically, isn't it financial infidelity?
I wouldn't call it that.
Well, you tell me after the break what word you would call it. All right. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. 831-0600-904-831-0600. We have some more Man on the Street interviews where they ask college students of comments of putting those in the black community back in chains. We all know who said that. College students thought it was all Trump that said all these comments. When they find out that it wasn't Trump. We got the clips coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
I'm in love with you, girl. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you.
Talk Radio AM 600, 101.1 FM.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. The Senate's impeachment trial has ended, and now President Trump is barreling into his re-election fight with the United Republican Party behind him. The president is expected to talk about the acquittal by the Senate today at 12 noon Eastern. New results from the Iowa Democratic caucuses show Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders nearly tied, with almost all the votes counted, but the race remained too early to call early today, with 97% of precincts reporting. Turkish news agencies report that search efforts have resumed in eastern Turkey following two avalanches that killed dozens and left at least two people missing. China has cut tariffs on $75 billion of U.S. imports, including soybeans, pork, and auto parts, in a trade truce with Washington as Beijing struggles with a costly virus outbreak. More details at srnnews.com.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Lederman. A teacher from Nassau County finds herself in some select company. Sixth grade math teacher Kristen Musgrove is one of just 40 educators nationwide and the only one from Florida to receive $25,000 from the Milliken Foundation, which recognizes exceptional teachers through its awards initiative. Musgrove says she's surprised at the honor, but school officials say she shouldn't be. They say 97% of her students demonstrate math proficiency, which is the highest percentage in the county. Musgrove and her fellow teachers will travel to Indianapolis next month to accept the prize. JEA says it's hearing more reports of customers getting scam calls about supposedly past due bills. The callers demanding immediate payment by prepaid debit card and threaten shutoff right away. JEA says it never makes cold calls like that and you should just hang up. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
There's a lot of basketball ahead, so let Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant has almost a dozen flavors of wings. Specials like 100 jumbo shrimp for just $34.99, plus the original Kronos Euros, oysters, shrimp, and more. The new classic chicken sandwich is just $3.99. Discounts for military, first responders, and school employees. Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, on Facebook at Z-Best The Original. Happy New Year from Z, the founder.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
95 northbound between Emerson Street and Atlantic Boulevard, there's slow traffic because of construction. Just add a couple extra minutes. We still have that car on fire, 95 northbound at Zoo Parkway, at about 5 minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Rainy and windy all day today with a high of 84. Windy with strong thunderstorms tonight and a low of 52. Right now, 68 degrees. And here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. With warning labels being proposed on Florida lottery tickets, opponents say it will hurt education funding. A new survey finds that a number of Americans admit to financial infidelity against their spouses. And Democrats admit that President Trump's State of the Union address could attract more black voters to support his policies.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
We're looking at infidelity, financial infidelity. A new survey by creditcards.com shows 44% of U.S. adults admit to committing some form of financial infidelity against their current spouse or partners.
So, again, you wouldn't call it. Then what word would you call it?
The reason why I would not is I believe it weakens the impact and the devastation of what real infidelity is. When you call little things like, okay, I've got some money stashed away. You know, I'm saving up maybe for a surprise vacation for us, and calling that infidelity. You know, is it right to keep financial secrets from your spouse? Absolutely not. But I also learned this. I'm a husband. I've got a wife. There are two rules that apply.
Wait.
What's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers.
Then what word? What word would you call it then?
Keeping a secret.
Can you say the same thing about somebody who's not loyal to their spouse then?
It's more than keeping a secret if you're not loyal to your spouse in a physical way.
Okay, but money is still a top three reason why that marriages can work or marriages or couples can break up. Would you not agree? Sometimes it's the number one issue, Roger.
Yeah, you have a
then
point.
Then what do you
there.
I'm just saying, what do you call it then?
Usually when there's a breakdown of the marriage because of finances, I don't believe it's because, you know, the husband or wife has a little bit of money stashed away that he doesn't know about. I think it's probably because the bills aren't being paid and the bank, being paid?
Let me ask you a question.
The bank is getting ready to foreclose in the house.
Hold on, this is a fun question.
Okay.
If you want to blow your money on gambling.
Okay.
All right. Let's say church, like you were supposed to give your tithe to God. You're having infidelity against him. Could you not say that because you're supposed to give to your church? If you took that money and you went to play the poker game on a Sunday or Saturday night, whatever, after church, and you didn't pay your bills, could you not say that it's a little infidelity going on the commitment you're supposed to have with your spouse?
I wouldn't call it infidelity.
Okay. Well, there you go, man. Right. That's what Roger says. I understand where Roger's coming from. But is that too strong of a word by saying that, you know, a new story came out from creditcard.com for those of you just tuning in, that sit back and say that 44% of couples out there have financial infidelity because they're keeping secrets by secret debt and all the other stuff. So Roger says, I wouldn't call it infidelity. What would you call it? You out there listening, I'd like to hear you. What would you call it? Listen to this. Campusreform.org. goes around the country, does an interview with college students. These are great because college students are funny to listen to. Hey, we need to impeach Trump. Why? Oh, we just need to impeach him. Why? Well, I don't have time to get into it. You know, they start getting aggravated when you ask them the reasons why. So I guess campusreform.org went to go interview more college students. I think this was out of D.C. or a couple of the colleges. So what they did was is they asked quotes of comments that didn't seem to fare well for those in the black community. Everybody just assumed the comments came from President Trump, right? Well, listen to this. Clip number, where are we at? Clip number 18.
Going to get your reaction to a few of the more controversial quotes.
Okay.
Talking to black voters, trying to win their support, saying, quote, the other side is going to put y'all back in chains. What do you think of that one?
That's inappropriate. That should not be spoken like that.
I mean, I think that's just flat out racist.
Nah, that's pretty horrendous.
We should get a new president, probably. We shouldn't have, like, someone like that as, like, a role model for kids. I don't think anyone is trying to do that.
Talking about North Korea, this administration's success will be judged on whether we can eliminate North Korea's nuclear weapons and verify they're gone once and for all.
Well, that sounds very threatening, as if we're going to be executed completely.
Let me stop right there. Putting you all back in chains. Who said that comment? Hey, if you give over there, they're going to put y'all back in chains. How many of y'all remember who said that comment? Roger, you don't recall?
Obama. What was it?
Wrong.
Oh, Hillary? Who was
wrong.
It who said that?
It
wasn't a Republican. I know
you're
that.
You're wrong.
Bill Clinton?
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Three strikes, I'm out.
So, yeah, you're out. So the question is, can some of you inform Roger who said that comment?
Gore.
Some of you inform Roger. I'm not going to tell Roger's right or wrong. Who said, we're going to put you all back in chains? Now, this was the question about North Korea. Who said the comment? So they all figured all these comments are coming from Trump.
It's warmongering, and I also think that there's other things to focus on with North Korea than just nuclear weapons.
I think it would be warmongering, but also it's just like a part of his rhetoric to like assert dominance and like assert American exceptionalism, things like
getting college students' opinions on quotes from that address. But what they don't know is that all the quotes are actually from 2020 Democratic candidates.
Yeah, the North Korea was done by Elizabeth Warren. Now, did somebody let you know who made the comment? Who was it?
Joe Biden.
Uncle Joe. I got the clip and I don't have it set up, but anyway, it doesn't matter. By the way, he said it at a black church. And was it 2012 he made the comment about Mitt Romney? Gonna put y'all back in chains. And people applauded that. Can you imagine if a Republican had said that?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it goes back to my earlier comment I made earlier in the hour. People do not vote on and support candidates who they support with their issues or their statements. They vote on team loyalty. And at that time, Joe Biden was conceived one of the team captains.
But hold on. He was the assistant captain. The captain was Barack H. Obama.
Yeah.
The point that I keep making is, if you put if somebody from a church community inside the church and somebody from inside their church is running for office compared to somebody who goes to another church, I got news for you. People in that church, knowing the individual, will probably vote for the person they go to church with, right?
Mm-hmm.
My point that I'm saying is, yes, I think there are differences, but there are being stereotyped. There are those in the black community that a good chunk of them that Hispanics are the same way, and Jewish community as well. The church community as well, that will vote for somebody because they're a member of the church, member of that community. That's what I'm saying. You know, I'm just telling you what the numbers say. But I don't believe that all those in the black community do that. I think just a good chunk of them do that.
I think a lot do, but I think that once...
Would you say the majority of them?
Not necessarily. You know, I really don't.
Really?
I think if a black person was voting or running against Bill Clinton in his second term, the black community would have gone with Bill Clinton.
Well... He was the first black president. Remember, he played the saxophone? We were told
that?
Do
you believe that Colin Powell would have gotten more black votes than Bill Clinton?
I don't know.
If Colin Powell ran as a Republican? Alan Keyes? Heck no.
No.
He's black.
No, but because...
Blackest guy in the room.
But there were Republicans, both of them.
Okay, that's what
and
I'm
they
talking
were,
about.
They were
team loyalty trumps it all.
Well, then I'll ask you this. Look at the majority of those in city councils. I mean, if not 80 to 90% of those in the black community are represented by those black community. How do you explain that then?
Well, they live in the same neighborhood.
Well, that's my... Well, yeah. So is that a stereotype?
I wouldn't call it a stereotype. It just happens to be where people happen to live.
All right. So I always find it a fascinating conversation. Florida lottery tickets. Remember the story we reported last week about putting warning labels on lotto tickets.
The lottery tickets could soon carry a big warning label. A new bill would require all lottery tickets to say, warning, gambling can be addictive. The bill sponsor says lottery tickets are a government-sanctioned activity and should come with the same kind of warnings found on cigarettes. The Florida Lottery sells a wide lineup of tickets ranging in price from $1 to $25 at more than 13,000 locations across the state.
All right, that's Fox News 4 out of South Florida. Remember, Roger, our good friend, believes that if you put that warning label on there, that could deter people, the gambling addicts, from buying that ticket. Man, I don't think most people don't buy into that. But let's say it does. But the main question, Roger, when it comes to lottery, their opponents now say that if you put those warning labels on those tickets, then, Roger, then people won't buy them, which means the education funding, they say, for the state of Florida will be slashed. NBC News Florida on where they say, when you look at the numbers, the lottery really isn't a jackpot for education funding in the Sunshine State.
A win-win, even if you don't actually win. That was the promise that helped make the Florida lottery a reality.
Profits were pledged as extra money for the education budget.
To see just how much lottery money really went to education, the vast majority, 73%, went to prizes, vendor fees, and administrative costs.
Oh.
The other 27%, or $1.7 billion, went to education. And by the time it was divvied up among scholarships, colleges, and universities, our K-12 schools ended up with $327 million.
So the question is Lotto really paying for education? Here's a little bit of a montage. We're going to get to those of you on hold. Just hold on for a second. Wait till you hear the montage right here where they say it hasn't funded Florida education like they promised.
It's just not anywhere near the amount of money that people think that we get.
We actually were probably better off in operating dollars before the lottery.
Every dime counts regardless of the source. The disappointment is that it's been used to substitute for another source so that those funds have been diverted elsewhere. The actual state funding of public education went down. So net net, we continue to...
So whether or not you put the question is, I mean, you're always fascinated by warning labels on things. Is it going to deter you from smoking, drinking, or playing lotto? But I think people would sit back and go, well, okay, if there isn't enough money going on there right now, and I got to take a quick break. Oh, but by the way, I'm going to put warning labels. So wait, if the goal is to people to buy lotto tickets in order to ensure education funding, but I'm going to put warning labels on there so they may not buy them, well, then I'm going to lose education funding.
Well, first of all, we've been lied to. As the clip pointed out, we were told that this is going to give extra funding for education. What they did is they took away the funding they were giving already through the taxes that are being generated, and it substituted it with lottery
So you
money.
Want to stop it more by putting warning labels on there to deter people from buying, and that you're hurting education funding?
I don't believe en masse, you know, that people will stop buying lottery tickets, but I think that may one or two guys, two
well, wait
people
a second.
Here
you were
and
telling
there.
Me last week you thought it would be a good idea.
You didn't let me finish. You cut me off just when I was getting ready to explain.
I'm sorry. You're redoing your belief. Go ahead.
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm explaining it in case you misunderstood. I think that there are gambling addicts. It is a real,
right?
It's a real medical psychological diagnosis according to all the medical journals. And I think that maybe if there's one or two guys who are getting ready to blow their mortgage money on lottery tickets and create
okay,
a problem
on.
For their families, maybe that one or two people may decide
not to buy a ticket. You mean to tell me it's worth spending all the amount of money for marketing materials on small businesses because one or two out of 1,000 may need it?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you believe, in the words of Melra, how about that?
Right.
Remember this week in baseball.
How hard would it be to print that on the ticket itself along with the number?
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Oh, well, Roger, what are you worried about? You're not paying for it. Hold on real quick before I get the phone calls. You're now putting, and I don't play lotto, but now you're going to put it more that the business owner has to pick up the cost?
No. What I'm saying is that on the lottery tickets, from what I understand, there actually is a printed lotto number.
Yeah.
How hard would it be to put, you know, some kind of warning label on that ticket?
But the problem is...
Or a little catchy slogan like, only takes one ticket to win,
Roger,
you don't have to buy 100.
The bill says you have to put it on marketing materials, which means the store and the vendor has to add on to that. That's more of a cost, by the way.
Well, they don't have to sell lottery tickets then.
But they need to sell lottery tickets for education funding and also to raise in revenue.
Nobody's forcing a convenience store to sell lottery
tickets.
Dude,
then why would you want to force a warning label and force them to have to put more money out of their pocket then?
Just make it a condition of being able to sell it. I'm okay with that.
Why don't we just put a syntax on it? Would that be better?
No one thinks, no retailer has got to sell lottery tickets if they choose not to.
Roger, nobody's forced to sell anything, but they do to try to make a profit.
You could say the same thing about a liquor license. I've never owned one, but someone told me they're $50,000 to buy a liquor license.
You don't have
to pay that money if you don't want to. Easy answer, don't sell liquor.
Well, what if you want to make a profit? What if you want to be in business? So you think it's okay to put more regulations on them?
It's the cost of doing business. If it's helping society, I don't have a problem with putting a warning label on lottery tickets.
Dude, I love you. I really am. All right, I'm going to take some calls. 831-0... Roger, how could you stop education funding? That's the emails I got. 831-0600-904-831-0600. I'm going to get your calls right now. So Roger says out of 1,000 lottery... Let's say 1,000 people are going to play lotto.
Okay.
But if you could put warning labels, and by the way, warning labels have to go in the marketing material as well, which means advertising, which puts more of a cost onto the retailer.
They already got billboards all over town that $1,000 a month.
Okay, so we're going to put more cost on them. Roger says it's worth it if one or two out of 1,000, it could help stop them from going further into gambling.
Yeah.
Wow.
If they've got a genuine problem where the lights are getting ready to turn off. And the, go ahead.
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on real quick before I get to the calls. To your point, if let's say 50%+, the numbers showed that warning labels deter people from buying lottery tickets, I think a lot of people would say, you got a valid point. But when you say 10%, that numbers just don't add up.
Yeah. Well, I look at it like this. You know, to have a billboard and they've got them all over the state of Florida telling people how much hundreds of millions of dollars are going to win. Take one billboard down and print up some material one time.
Oh, I love it.
You don't have to replace that every month like the billboards. One time expense.
You're on fire, man. I love it. All right. 831-0600. Let's go to Joe. Hey, Joe. Good morning. What's going on?
Hey. How you doing?
Good. Thank you, sir.
Good. Listen, my comments about Trump and what he's doing for black community.
Right.
Okay. When you look at it, back going as far as I can remember, 50, 60 years, the Democrats, instead of trying to help the black community like Trump is doing, getting them trained, getting them jobs and things like that, okay, and get them less dependent on welfare and give them self-respect, where the Democrats, they wanted to make welfare addicts, and they never, even the Republicans, never even tried to say, hey, and that's why this policy is working, because of the fact, instead of saying we're just going to keep giving you and make you, you talk about lottery addicts, they made welfare addicts, okay? And now he's changing that.
Well, I mean, those numbers actually were somewhat coming down under Obama, but it went rapid fire under Trump. I think that's how the economy, the Trump economy should be explained, that it was majorly night and day between them and Obama. Here's the question, Joe, I think I would throw back. Is instead of using the stereotype that, oh, it's always those in the Jewish community only vote for those that are Jewish, or those that go to a Baptist church only vote for somebody who may be a Baptist, or those in a black community. Let's have a real discussion. Tell me an issue. If you had to put, since we're talking about those in the black community or Hispanics, let's say you had an auditorium full of 300, 400, 500 people, and you talked about the issue of school choice, not crime. I mean, school choice. I don't know. I'm just asking, what do you think the numbers would be? 60-40 in favor, 70-30 against? I'd be kind of curious about that.
It would be based upon, I think, how many parents are in that room who have school-age children.
That's my whole point.
And they're not happy with where their kids are going to school, and they're getting beat up every day. They're being bullied. Their grades are horrible.
What I would like, and that's why I'd be curious to see what this on that issue.
Right, and they see the math, and they understand that it's more expensive to send their kids to a metal detector high than it would be to this private school, that they're going to get a better education and a college scholarship. They would support school choice.
Roger, you're on fire. Metal detector high. I like that one. 49 minutes after 6 a.m. Talk radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
295 northbound at Collins. There's some car parts in the middle of the road. Just be aware. And we're still dealing with a vehicle on fire at 95 northbound at Zoo Parkway. All lanes are blocked. Add an extra 5 minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Rainy and windy all day today with a high of 84. Windy with strong thunderstorms tonight and a low of 52. Right now, 68 degrees.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
K Canines for Warriors is ending veteran suicide and returning our warriors to a life of dignity and independence. They rescue and train shelter dogs to be paired as service dogs for warriors with service-connected post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and or military sexual trauma. Join their mission and be a part of their 2020 campaign to reduce the veteran suicide rate of 20 a day, because 20 is a name, not a number. Learn more at caninesforwarriors.org.
The Everglades, previously stretching from Kissimmee to the Florida Keys, home to thousands of species of plants and animals, and an ecosystem found nowhere else on Earth, is half its original size and starved of water. To learn more and to help restore America's Everglades, visit EvergladesFoundation.org. That's EvergladesFoundation.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra-soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
For limited time, go to MyPillow.com. When you buy a set of Giza Sheets, Mike will give you a set of Giza Sheets for free when you use promo code WBOB or call 800-950-9024 and give them promo code WBOB for this fantastic offer.
Hey, Steve, what's going on, Tanner? It's just another wonderful day at the New Balance store. Working with clients who have specific footwear needs is really rewarding to me. With all the styles, sizes, and widths we carry, plus our computerized state-of-the-art 3D foot scanner can help you find your perfect fit in footwear and custom art supports. Everyone leaves with a smile on their face. I didn't even mention the one-on-one customer service that we offer.
I know. That's why I'm a repeat customer at the New Balance store.
Experience the difference at the New Balance store, where their highly trained specialists measure every aspect of your foot and gait for a custom fit like you've never had before. The New Balance store carries sizes from 5 to 18 and widths from 2A to 6E. With a huge selection of styles and colors recommended by healthcare professionals, the New Balance store in Orange Park at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Get the perfect fit at the New Balance store, Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new survey finds that a number of Americans admit to financial infidelity against their spouses. Democrats admit that President Trump's State of the Union address could attract more black voters to support his policies. And after the president's acquittal yesterday, Democrats and the media praise Utah Senator Mitt Romney for being the lone Republican to vote for impeachment against President Trump.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
All right, let's go to Chris on line one. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Ed.
Hey, brother.
So I couldn't hold myself back anymore. I had to call you about Roger Mac and Cheese Henderson there.
Mac and Cheese. Hey, I love it.
I love the nickname. Hey.
First of all, there's 2 points. One, I think when it comes to people voting, to a certain extent, Roger, you are right. Some people want to be on a team, if you will. And there are certain blocks of folks that do vote as a team. But the reason that most people vote, especially when you hear these men on the street things, is because they're uninformed and the other side gets them spun up about emotional issues. That's it. They get spun up about something. If you talk to black people, it's like, oh, well, they're going to put you back in chains. That's not about being on a team. That's an emotional response to something, and people get fired up. And the other side, a lot of times, uses that very, very successfully to get people fired up, and people get fired up without thinking, and they get them to go the way they want them.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe if a Republican had made the exact same statement that Joe Biden had made to a black audience, do you think it would have been as well received?
No, not at all. But there's two different audiences with two different mindsets in general. It's very easy to fire up one side about certain things emotionally. It's a little easier to fire up the other side on other things financially or factually.
What if that Republican who had made the same statement about keeping you in chains were speaking to the same exact audience?
Well, as you already know, they would have been taken out, castrated, and thrown in the side of the road.
Yeah, and that speaks to my statement about team loyalty, that he was a Democrat. And, you know, at least at that time, if you're a Democrat, you can do very little wrong, you know? So
from that standpoint, yes. But the point is, when that comment was originally made, it was made and designed to fire up the group of people he was speaking to.
Right.
And it worked.
I think they cheered. I don't believe anybody black believes that in 20, what was the year at that time? 2012.
Well, I agree with
that. Anybody was going to be put back in chains again. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Well, conceptually.
All right, hurry up. I only have a 3-hour show here. So get your.
All right. Anyway, the other point is burdensome regulation. So, I get your point. I don't have a liquor license, but people want to spend that money because there's lots of folks who want to buy liquor. And so no one's going to come out of their pocket with some ludicrous amount of money for something like that unless it was going to sell. And the problem is, I know about, and I'm not a lottery ticket guy either, but every additional regulation or stipulation put on a particular product costs money or time. And you have a bunch of unelected folks sitting around in a room thinking, hey, this would be a good idea. Hey, let's not use plastic straws. Let's use paper. Hey, let's make businesses put this kind of sign on the door. Hey, let's make them do this, that, and the other. Soon, there's a lot of burdensome regulation that's costing a business owner a lot of time and money
that
they didn't expect.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, here's the thing. It's not like you have a 5x8 and you have a massive amount of space to buy. No. When you go from a 5x8 card, now I have to go to 6x11. I get news for you. Your cost just went up.
Who is suggesting who has to pay for this marketing material that says, you know, gambling can be addictive?
The state of Florida.
The state's going to pay for it?
No, you got to pay for it.
So the retailer has to pay for it.
More regular. Well, who do you think's paying for it?
I thought the state would provide that with the signage.
But hold on. Wait. What do you mean if they put the signage? A company has to put up the lotto tickets, and guess what? They're going to pass that cost on to the company, so the company's going to have to find a way to somehow make up that cost to the consumer.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I was under the assumption that the people that would be paying for it ultimately would be the lotto ticket buyers because...
there you go. Because the retailers would be given these signs
to put up next to the lotto machine.
Before the costs are passed on to lotto ticket buyers, who's got to pay for it up there? The company. Remember, if the company... They say, the company's passing the cost on to the consumer. Well, if the consumer isn't buying the product, the company's still paying for it. Would you not agree?
Okay.
So they got to find out how to make their money.
Who's paying for the billboards?
The company.
Okay.
I mean, it's unfunded mandates. Kind of like saying, who's paying for all of the teachers' increase in salary? State ain't got a bunch of money sitting around. It's going to be passed on to the local community. They're going to find a way to cover that cost. All right, 831-0600, 904-831-0600. Talk radio, WBOB.